There's two great days in the history of mankind. The day Jesus Christ arose, he is risen. Those are the greatest words ever spoken. He is risen. So go to Matthew 28:1-6. In the end of the Sabbath, as it was began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord ascended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. What a great mind picture that is. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. I'll bet. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." One of the two of the greatest days in all of mankind, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not here. He is risen. He is risen out from among the dead, never to die again. Now, the second greatest day in all of mankind, go to Acts 2. When Adam was in the garden and sin disobeyed God and he lost Holy Spirit, mankind stayed in that state until this day, Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Jesus Christ had told them to go to Jerusalem, the 12 apostles, and wait for the promise of the Father. That promise was made right after Adam lost Holy Spirit. Now it's here. It's like 4,000 years. You know, Israel was taken into captivity. God got them out. All the things that they went through, the temple destroyed, all of those things that happened. This day comes. They were all with one accord in one place, in the temple, not in the upper room, in the temple. That's where they went to worship. That's where they went for all of the days of feasts and all of the celebrations. So they were in the temple in one place, and they were all with one accord. They were all in unity. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, like a breath. Remember Jesus Christ when he told them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye Holy Spirit." Well, the sound of a breath was in the temple. Now, these 12 apostles had been taught by Jesus Christ, so they knew all of these, you know, that meant something to them. When they heard that, that meant something to them. It had to have, or God wouldn't have done it. And it filled all the house, the whole temple where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, the 12 apostles, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. Each one of those apostles saw that. It was like, and you know, in the Old Testament, God would send fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, and that meant that the sacrifice was acceptable. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was acceptable, and God was showing the apostles, this is it. This is it. The fire from heaven, this is it. And only those 12 apostles would have seen it. God showed it to them. Phenomenon, whatever you want. God showed them these cloven tongues like as a fire. And they were cloven tongues. They were cloven tongues. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance, as the Spirit, God, was giving them utterance. There it is. The Holy Spirit is back. men have been filled with Holy Spirit. Adam lost it. Jesus Christ came, was crucified. He is risen the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost has got to be the most exciting day in the history of all mankind, because God has given His Holy Spirit, His gift, unto men. Now it's a gift. With God, when He gives a gift, it is a gift. He doesn't ever consider taking it back. Adam lost it. The Spirit was conditional. Ours is a gift from the Almighty God. When God, I sound like Dr. Robert, God. When God gives a gift, it's a gift. It's yours to do with freely, whatever you want to do with it. And He just gave the greatest gift that mankind has ever been able to receive, the gift of Holy Spirit. Adam lost it. 4,000 years later, God gives the gift of Holy Spirit. He fills man with His gift of Holy Spirit. No conditions. There was only one thing required. Believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead. It is so simple that it's, you have to think about it. You don't do anything for it. You couldn't do anything for it. Jesus Christ did everything for it so that we could receive that gift. But the day of Pentecost, to me, Acts 2, this chapter is, it's so exciting. I can, be there. I can be there with those guys. Cloven tongues, fire, like cloven tongues, okay. And they spoke in tongues. They were filled with Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem. All these guys were there for the Feast of Weeks. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were perplexed. They didn't know what was going on. Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Every man heard him speak in his own language. Now, look how many men were here. This tells you something about speaking in tongues. Behold, and they all said, behold, are not all these men which speak in tongues right now Galileans? And how hear we? They were northern Aramaic, and they had their own language. Now hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, I started to say liberty, Libya, around Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. Now, how many apostles were they?
12.
How many languages did they hear? You count them. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, our languages, the wonderful works of God. And that is, Walter translated, magnificent things of God. So what does that tell you about speaking in tongues? You can have several languages. Oh, God, isn't that something? The more you speak in tongues, haven't you ever found yourself speaking in tongues and all of a sudden you're like, where'd that come from? It's a different language. And it's given to you by the Almighty God. So, this morning, I want us to refresh our memories and go over what good does it do to speak in tongues. So, I want to read to you the definition of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is the believer's external manifestation in the senses world of the internal reality and presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Go to 1 John 4. When I really understood that, I thought, all those guys heard him speaking their languages, you know, and there were 12 apostles speaking. Okay. Let me get there. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So that gift of Holy Spirit is greater than he that is in the world. Well, who runs the world? The devil, the adversary, the god of this world. So greater is that gift of Holy Spirit in you than him. And remember, at one time he had a lot of power. Well, he still does, but it's been taken away from him. But he had a lot of power. He was next to God. He was Lucifer, the angel of light. When God wanted something done, he sent Lucifer to do it. So greater is he, that gift of Holy Spirit in me, than he, the devil that is in the world. So what does that tell you? Probably ought to manifest that Holy Spirit, right? Probably ought to be using that. That's the basic. Speaking in tongues is the basic of operating manifestations, all 9 manifestations of Holy Spirit. Okay, so what good does it do to speak in tongues? We're going to go right to the basics. It builds you up spiritually. 1 Corinthians 14:4. While you get there, I'll read this to you. Of all the spiritual abilities from God, the ability to speak in tongues is the only one mentioned that will build you up personally. It builds you. Bobby, why don't you read 1 Corinthians 14:4?
Right, 1 Corinthians 14:4. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
Right, we want the first part of that. He that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself. Now, God doesn't tell you how it edifies yourself. It doesn't edify you in your mind, because you don't understand the language you're speaking. It builds you up spiritually. How God does that, I don't know. I don't need to know. All I need to know is that when I speak in tongues much, it builds me up spiritually so that I can manifest the other manifestations. If we're not built up spiritually by feeding that spirit, by speaking in tongues, then we're really not going to have much ability to operate the other manifestations. And God gave us 9. He didn't give us 1, 3. He gave us 9, which is the power that we have over the god of this world. Now, it speaks divine secrets. I love this one. Warren, why don't you read 1 Corinthians 4:2?
14:2.
Maybe 14, yeah. I'm getting like Sid. I can't read my... Oh, that was wrong. Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, scratch that off the tape. I don't want Sid to hear... Okay, who'd I say read that? Warren? Okay, go ahead, Warren.
1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, however in the spirit he speaketh mysteries.
Right, and that mysteries can be translated divine secrets. Your spirit is in direct communication with God, divine secrets. You become spiritually keen and spiritually perceptive. When you speak in tongues much, and I mean much, you can walk into a room and know what's going on spiritually. You're spiritually in tune. You just, natural man would call that a sixth sense. I call it God's sense, you know, that you just spiritually become in tune. You understand what's going on. You can hear things and know where it's coming from or understand what's behind it. And speaking in tongues much, you're speaking divine secrets to God. He's giving you the language to speak. That's why it's secret from you, but yet he keeps you in tune spiritually, spiritually perceptive. And when you read the word, God can open the eyes of your understanding. When you pray for other people, God can show you what to pray for spiritually. When you speak in tongues much, there are many times somebody's name will pop into my head that maybe I haven't seen in 20 years. And I know right then and there to start speaking in tongues for him. God's letting me know, my spirit know, speak in tongues for him. It's so amazing what speaking in tongues does. And yet I think sometimes we've been in the Word a long time, we forget these things. I'm speaking to God in divine secrets. How often do we think of that? Not very often. How many times do we think of these things, these basics that we were taught in the foundational class? The easiest, simplest things in the world to remember. And those sometimes are the first thing we forget. And we want more understanding, more understanding, more teaching, more teaching. I want to know what Revelation says and all that stuff. But yet we're not thinking about the basic, simple things of the wonderful gift that God gave us. We're the most blessed people on the face of this earth that we not only speak in tongues, we understand what we're doing. I was in a Pentecostal holiness church right before I was taken to a fellowship here, the Rightly Divided Word, and they spoke in tongues, but they did it like the book of Corinthians. You know, everybody on the floor shouting hallelujah, everybody speaking in tongues at once. One guy speak in tongues, one guy interpret, dancing in the spirit, waving the handkerchiefs, all that kind of stuff while they were speaking in tongues. Yeah, I spoke in tongues there, I did. I believed it, and I spoke in tongues. However, I didn't know this. I didn't know any of this. We are the most blessed people on the face of the earth that we have the rightly divided word on the gift of Holy Spirit. How many people have the gift of Holy Spirit and don't even know they can speak in tongues? They have no idea they can speak in tongues. And those that do know about speaking in tongues, some Christians even, born-again Christians, think speaking in tongues is weird. Or something's wrong with it. Well, that's because they probably saw what I saw. You know, I don't blame them. It was weird, real weird. I was in on it. I was doing it. Shouting hallelujah the whole dang bit. But however, it wasn't long after that that I got to hear the word rightly divided. Oh, the privilege that we have is just astounding. So, okay, that takes care of divine secrets. Now, it gives thanks well. Go to 1 Corinthians 14:17, and Jim Davis, Senior, you read that.
For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified.
Okay, and this is in the book of Corinthians where they were in, you know, he was teaching the fellowship how to properly operate the manifestations. So when we're in a fellowship and other people are praying, we need to be speaking in tongues. We need to be speaking in tongues anyway, but we need to be speaking in tongues when the other believers are praying. Because that's giving God thanks well. Don't ask me what he means by that. I don't know how that gives thanks well. I just know that God says it does. So then it's up to me to do it. Big deal. It gives thanks well. So when we're in a fellowship, Jean Marie's praying for a friend, her father, anything, herself, we should all be speaking in tongues. That's giving thanks well, and that prayer is being lifted to God. That burden is being taken care of on Jean Marie's behalf or whoever has a need in the fellowship. Isn't that wonderful? And there are times, Stella and I, one time we were talking about just speaking in tongues to thank God. Just sitting back, getting quiet, and just sit down and tell God, I'm just thankful. Don't pray for anything. Don't ask for anything. Just sit and speak in tongues to God and give him thanks well. He loves that. God loves hearing you speak in tongues. It brings joy to his heart. It has to. He waited 4,000 years to give that gift. And when we can just be quiet and just speak in tongues to be thanking God, believe you me, he'll take care of a lot of things that you don't even know you need. A lot of things that you don't even know you need. So, let's go to the next one. It makes us aware of who we are. Romans 8:16. And Bern, why don't you read that one? Annie, my roomie.
The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
When you speak in tongues, that's our proof. That is our proof. Confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead is one thing. That's for your mind and your heart. Speaking in tongues, you've heard it said a gazillion times in the ministry and with the believers. Speaking in tongues is your proof that you have that gift, that you are born again, that you have Christ in you, that you are a child of God and a joint heir with Christ. So when you're speaking in tongues in your private prayer life, which should be a lot, and I mean, I'm saying a lot, a whole lot. Remember Paul said, I speak in tongues more than y'all? And he was talking to a church. Come on. He saw the importance of it. He believed what God said. It keeps you aware. See, when we're speaking in tongues, we have to be aware of these things. I'm giving thanks well. I'm in direct communication with the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the universe. When you think of God like that, you go, whoa, wait a minute, all righty then. Let me speak in tongues more. I'm in direct communication with the Almighty God. El Shaddai. Isn't that something? I mean, if that doesn't get us excited, we need a pacemaker or something put in. I mean, really, this stuff in Acts is like, it's just unbelievably exciting and perfect and wonderful. Okay, 8:16, let me look here. This spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. That first usage of spirit, it refers to the totality of the new spirit nature received from God. And the second spirit refers to the life of man, its issues and characteristics. So, you know, everything is based on spirit, but there's a spirit of man, which is you, what makes you you, and the spirit, which is the gift. So that gift of Holy Spirit, when you speak in tongues, affirms your mind and your heart that you are a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We have to think of these things. We have to think about these things and be aware of it. You know, when you're standing in a bank line or grocery store line, just start speaking in tongues and go, wait a minute, I'm a joint heir with Christ. And that's the proof. And what's so great is you're somewhere like that or you're in traffic and you're speaking in tongues and nobody else knows it. And you're just in direct communication with God. Puts a big smile on your face instead of cussing the guy in front, you know, in line in front of you that he'd hurry the hell up and get out of your way because I've got things to do. So instead, speak in tongues, put you in direct communication with the Almighty God. Maybe the line would speed up. Or instead of driving around a parking lot cussing because there's no place to park, Stella and my daughter God, I want the first, they get the best parking spot in the lot, and the lot will be full with thousands of cars. Stella and my daughter get the spot right by the front door every single time. Stella, you don't need handicap parking. There's a spot right here, and it's closer than the handicap parking. That's just how God, you know, God does those things. I think it's wonderful. But to acknowledge that, too, to always be thankful, to always speak in tongues to give thanks to God. Any little minute that you have, wherever you're at, you're, you know, I know that everybody has to work, and you got to use your mind to think about work, and that's godly, and that's the truth. That's what the Word says to do. But any little time that you have where you don't have to think about something that you're doing or going on around you, speak in tongues quietly. Nobody else knows that. When you're in your car and you're speaking in tongues, nobody knows that. You get a big smile on your face, and everybody else around you is pissed off, on their phone, cursing, speeding, cutting in and out of traffic, and you're just driving along in direct communication with the Almighty God. Oh, yeah. So, now let's go to, here's some of the greatest prayer. Kathy, why don't you read 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15. 14 and 15, yeah, verses 14 and 15.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also.
Isn't that wonderful? We can pray with our understanding. Every day when I pray for our fellowship, Stella's family, my family, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. I love it. I pray with my understanding. I ask God to help you to walk maturely in all of His will. I ask God to open the eyes of your understanding. I ask God to work within you to will and to do of His good pleasure. I ask God to heal you where it's needed, mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. And then I speak in tongues for you. The speaking in tongues is where it's at. The speaking in tongues for other people is definitely the thing to do. You know why? Because you get a lot of healing too. Dr. Werwell used to say, if you want to be healed, pray for somebody that's sick. Speak in tongues for somebody that's sick. You want to get healed? That's speaking in tongues for people. Go to Romans 26. That's speaking in tongues for people. I'm sorry. Romans 8, 26. Get ahead of myself. Yeah. Yeah. Sid wrote it last night. Okay. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmity, our weaknesses in prayer, because usually we don't know what to pray for. I can ask God to heal you, but you know what? And I don't need to ask God, well, make sure you close the heart valve and make sure the stitches are... I don't need to do that. I need to ask God to heal you and speak in tongues for you. He knows. He already knows. He knows all the details. Likewise, the Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit, also helps our weakness, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't. I don't know what to pray for you, not really. But the Spirit, the gift itself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, that Spirit within you is doing the groanings or knows the needs, and it's interceding for you with God, because God gives you the language. God gives you the language to speak. That's why it bypasses our stupid understanding. We don't need to understand everything. God understands everything. God understands our hearts. Sometimes I'll get a prayer request from Stella or some believer instantly. I don't pray for that person. I say, God, take care of so-and-so, and then I start speaking in tongues. You know why? I don't know what's going on. If somebody sends me a prayer request and says, pray for Lily, I don't know what's wrong with Lily. I don't need to know. God knows. All I need to do is say, God, take care of Lily, and I speak in tongues, speak in tongues, speak in tongues. And sometimes I'll speak in tongues for quite a while, and then all of a sudden I know the burden's lifted. The burden's lifted. It's taken care of. If that doesn't happen, I do it several times a day, or I keep doing it until, I'll ask somebody like Jay's employee. Jay, how's your employee doing with his hand that Jay asked us to pray for? And, then God lets you know. Keep praying. Keep doing this. Isn't that incredible that we have that power? Is that phenomenal? And we think sometimes we're helpless. Are you kidding me? Are you serious that we're helpless? I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. The hell there isn't. What are you, nuts? If you're a believer, the greatest thing you have to do is to speak in tongues for somebody. Speak in tongues for our country. Speak in tongues that unbelievers get to hear the word. Speak in tongues for every believer in the world. Just speak in tongues. Sherry, with her little cross stitch at Christmas, speak in tongues more. Speak in tongues much. That's still on the side of my refrigerator. Always will be. Not that I don't, not that I need it to remind me to speak in tongues, because Sherry's heart made it for me. That's why. That's why it'll always be there. So, keep going here. 27. And he, God, searches the hearts, knows what is the thoughts of the Spirit, the gift, because it maketh intercession for the saints according to God's will. I don't need to know God's will for that person's healing. All I need to do is speak in tongues, and that's according to God's will. Is that phenomenal? That we are in communication with the Almighty God, who can heal, who can bless, who has the power to deliver, who has the power to raise from the dead, that we can speak in tongues for somebody according to God's will. I don't have to figure out what to pray for. Most of the time, I don't know. All I know is Kathy's my sister in Christ. Every day, I pray for her. That's all I need to know. I'm speaking in tongues according to God's will. I would rather have God's will be done than mine. And if you have a personal need, that speaking in tongues is according to God's will, not according to yours. Because three-fourths of the time when you pray for yourself, you're telling God what to do. Is that the truth or what? Yeah, it is. God, I need a job. I need the best job. I need one close to home. Thank you. And you speak in tongues. It's so simple. It makes life so much easier. God, when I was in that church, they used to pray and beg God and on their knees and carry on and on and on and on. And all of them spoke in tongues, but yet they didn't know to pray silently and speak in tongues. They had no idea the power they had. We do. We have the rightly divided word. We are the most privileged people since the first century church. Do you not get that? We know what this word says. And I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm saying that we have it. When somebody witnessed to us or told us about it, we actually believed them. I asked Greg Earl one time, I said, Greg, why in the world would God call me? There I go again, God. Why in the world would God call me to hear the word rightly divided? Why would he do that? Greg Earl says, because you believed it, that's why. And I was like, oh, okay. That's cool. That was easy. But I mean, it's such a privilege to have this and to know it that we forget it. We forget that It's divine secrets. It makes intercession according to God's will. How, it's unbelievable to me that we don't do better with this. We need to speak in tongues much. If you do, congratulations. I'm happy for you, and so is God. If you don't, you need to start. You really do need to start, because there's nothing like it. I know in my life, I was probably screwing up on the word so badly, but at the same time, I was speaking in tongues. Go figure. Because God wants us to renew our minds. But there have been times in my life where I know darn good and well the only reason that I had any grace and mercy at all out of the situation was because I was speaking in tongues. That's the only reason. I'm almost sure of it. Speaking in tongues gets the job done. Now, it gives rest to us. Go to Isaiah 28. You know, always back to the basics. Always back to the basics. How much greater can I believe the word? And how much better can I operate manifestations? This is the basis for the power we have, speaking in tongues. He didn't give, on the day of Pentecost, he didn't give gifts of healings, did he, first? No. He didn't tell the apostles, okay, you can go out and heal somebody. No, he didn't do that. They spoke in tongues. So how important is that to our lives and to operating the manifestation? And you notice, if you go through the rest of the book of Acts, they were operating manifestations like crazy. I mean, but they had speaking in tongues down pat. They knew what they were doing. And every time they would witness to somebody, like Peter, I heard him speak in tongues, so I knew God is no respecter of persons. That is the proof that we have Christ in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is in us. So the same power, that's, can you imagine? Just think about that. He is risen. So are we. So are we. And we're going to be taken up to see him face to face by way of that Spirit. Not by way of my flesh, but by way of that Spirit. I have that power now. I have it now. Every moment of every day, I have that power. God can wake me up in the middle of the night to speak in tongues. I don't know why. I don't care why. If that's what he wakes me up and I know it, and I'm speaking in tongues when I open my eyes, I know that was Almighty God working in my spirit. The power of God within me. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. He is risen. Is in us. We, you know, you got to think about this stuff. Isaiah 28. 28, where are we? 11. Yeah, 11. Verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, isn't that amazing? Yeah, in Isaiah. Isaiah got that revelation. To him he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. That first rest is a place of rest. We have a place of rest because we have the gift of Holy Spirit. That's where we rest. We rest in God, in that Spirit. We can rest. We've been risen. We're sanctified, set apart from the common. Thank God. We're set apart for God's service and God's will. We're justified just as if Adam's sin had never happened. Has nothing to do with us. It was taken care of in Christ. We're righteous. When I think about that, I'm going, oh, God, please. No, I'm not. I'm like, are you serious? Me? I'm righteous? We're clean. Like in the manifestations, I see you as clean. I see you as whole. You know why? Not because of me or what I've done or what this and that. Because of that Holy Spirit. My place of rest is in God, in Christ, in me, that Spirit. And the second usage of rest is he caused us to rest in that rest. How restful is that? And it's more than giving rest to the soul of energizing you. Speaking in tongues energizes you. Look at Sid and Stella. Sometimes I'm amazed at those two. They go and go and go and go and go and go and nothing they won't do. Sometimes Stella say, I'll take you over here. I'm gonna blah 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 blah. Okay, so okay, whatever you say. I just do what I'm told mostly. But I mean, they never stop. They never stop. I wonder why that is. Because we all pray and speak in tongues for them. They speak in tongues. They pray for us. They serve God to the uttermost. And they're always energized, always ready to go and do anything for anybody. I'm always amazed at those two. It's like, don't you guys ever get tired? Don't you ever just want to stop and sit down and say, leave me? Nope. Nope, 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 nope. They believe who they are in Christ and what they're called to do. And we can believe who we are in Christ and what we're called to do. Because basically all of us are called to be God's children and to serve him. That's the whole purpose of man, to serve God, to believe God. So that Spirit gives us a place to rest in. You know, when you sit down, speak in tongues, just to be speaking in tongues. Not to ask for anything or pray for anybody. You should have already done that. Just to be thankful and to rest in that Spirit. And we can rest in that knowing that we're in that place of rest. We're not, Doctor, you say, we're not at loggerheads with God. He's not upset with us. He never is. He forgives. He gave us that place of rest so we could go, I don't have to fight anymore. The battle has been won. Jesus Christ fought the battle. Jesus Christ won the victory. Jesus Christ defeated death itself. I have a place to rest. I can just, I'm not weary anymore. And believe you me, there was a time in my life when I was really weary. I was really weary. There was no place to go but up, and God pulled me up. That's why I love that song, Love Lifted Me, out of the muck and the mire and the, all the other darkness, dark, 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 dark places. But I have that place of rest. I'm not weary anymore. I'm not fighting. We got to stop fighting God and let him be God. You be you and let God be God, okay? Because that's what he wants to be. He wants to speak directly to us. He wants to communicate with that Spirit so we're aware and so we perceive what's going on in our life. And, you know, to ask God, show me where I need to change to improve, and speak in tongues for yourself. And God will help you to overcome, help you to believe the word. He wants us to believe. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to love. He wants us to give. He'll help us with that. And we have that place of rest where the fight is over. All we got to do is relax, let go, and let God. So what are we going to do? Speak in tongues much. Okay.